So we've been talking about, I'm just wondering, we've been trying to answer some of your questions that you've submitted. And last week, talked about the stories of our stones, about sharing the mighty acts of God that we've experienced in our life, sharing them with the generations to come, so that the generations to come can be full of the awe of God and who God is, and they don't have to live life with fear because the generations before have told how God has been faithful and moved in their lives, and it changes the way we view life. We don't have to be afraid because we know of the mighty acts of God and His faithfulness. Last week, as part of the teaching, we looked at the response of God's chosen people who were sent out to spy the promised land, or Canaan. And I made the point that all 12 of the spies that went into Canaan to spy out the land had experienced freedom from slavery. They had all been rescued from bondage. They had been rescued from Egypt. They had experienced firsthand the power of God. They had all benefited from the mighty acts of God on their behalf. But when they explored Canaan, they came back with two very different reports. So why would these spies, all with newly found freedom from bondage, who physically saw and experienced on their exploration trip, they had experienced the power of God bringing them out of Egypt, going across the wilderness. Why would these spies come back with such different reports? Well, Caleb thought and lived and saw through the eyes of a free man who believed that God was fulfilling his promises, that God was carrying out his plans and his purposes. And I think just about every song this morning kind of reflected that in some way. He believed, despite the overwhelming circumstances, that God had made a covenant based on God's chesed, his mercy, his loving kindness, and that God would not be unfaithful to his covenant. That's why Caleb came back with a positive report. And then the other 10 spies, although free from the bondage of slavery, still thought and lived and saw life through the eyes of a slave and came back with a negative report. This is too overwhelming. There's no way we can do this. Well, what's that mean to see through the eyes of a slave, and how does that happen? Why did this happen? Well, it reminded me of the story of the duck that thought it was a dog. You see, scientists know that ducks tend to imprint soon after birth. And to imprint means that they attach themselves to the first thing that they see after they hatch. And they think they are that thing. This is supposed to work for the duck. Since they hatch, the first thing they normally see is a mama duck. This does backfire occasionally. Once, for an example, a duckling was hatched under the watchful eye of a motherly Labrador. The baby duck took one look at the lab and decided this dog must be its mother. It followed the dog around. It ran to it for protection. It slept with it at night. It spent the hot part of the day under the porch. When a car pulled into the driveway, along with the dog, the duck would run out from under the porch, quacking viciously, pecking at the tires. You get the picture. Some things could not be changed, however. The duck still quacked, still enjoyed the water, flapped its wings, and sometimes it acted like a duck, and sometimes it acted like a dog. Well, believers and followers of Jesus, God's people, us, often experience similar confusion in identity. We've been born with a sin nature and live and have grown up in a fallen world, so we've learned the ways of the world, and we have become like it. When we first believe in Jesus Christ by faith and become Christians, we are in Christ. We die to the world and to sin and are born again so that spiritually we are no longer who we once were, which was basically slaves. But too often, just like the duck, we don't see ourselves correctly. We act like the thing we think we are rather than what we really are. We believe and try and do the right things, but for the life of us, we just can't get it exactly right. So when we least expect it, a car pulls into the driveway of our life. We explode from underneath the front porch, quacking viciously, impacting the tires. Don't we? Well, who are we? We aren't supposed to do that. We're supposed to be swimming around in the lake. On a day like today, up at Dave and Pat's pond, preening our feathers, eating seaweed, or whatever ducks eat. Well, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesian church, the redeemed body of Christ, writes, so that we, the church, may have a better understanding of every spiritual blessing we have received, so that we can have a fuller grasp of our identity as redeemed people, as people who have been rescued from the bondage of sin and death, people who focus on the mighty acts of God in our lives and in the people around us. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm not going to be that long this morning, I don't think. So I invite you to pay close attention and allow these simple yet really astounding truths in these verses in Ephesians 1 to kind of bring deep comfort to us, maybe even some conviction, as well as renewed identity for our souls. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, and I have it broken up into three different sections. It says, praise, back to last week, what did we talk about? Giving praise to God for his mighty acts. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I'm going to say that one more time. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. I just want to make several interesting points before I kind of really dive into what I want to really sink into our hearts this morning. In this passage in Ephesians 3 to 14, in the Greek, it's all one big long sentence. And I thought about trying to do that without taking a breath, with no punctuation, but I didn't. In the NIV, which I tend to use, if you look at the end of verse 4, the NIV says, for he chosen us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, period. And then it starts, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. In the King James and some other versions, they put the period after love. So it reads like I have up there, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. Then he goes on, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. I really think either one works, but there's a verse or a couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It says this, May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. There seems to be a connection with this increasing and abundance of love and living holy and blameless lives. Think about it. As love for each other increases, things of the sinful nature, like envy and gossip, and sexual immorality, and slander, and selfish ambition, and discord, and fits of rage, which are all fruits of the sinful nature that devalue other people, they all decrease. When our love, which is a fruit of the Spirit, which God has put in us, when our love and outflowing of love increases, the things we do that devalue other people decrease. And I actually believe out of that love, we begin to live more blameless and holy lives because we're not devaluing other people in our congregations, in our communities, whoever it is. Does that make sense? So I just wanted to kind of put that in there before I get back to every spiritual blessing. I think it's rather important. I didn't want to skip over it. So we see some spiritual blessings in the Father. And like I said last week, We looked at proclaiming or telling the stories, the mighty acts of God in our lives. In this passage, we proclaim, we praise, we exalt God because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do you think you could say that with me this morning? Every spiritual blessing in Christ. One more time. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. All right, so which spiritual blessing do we not have in Christ? None. Every spiritual blessing is made available to us as believers through Christ, in Christ. And I'm afraid, I've done this often, there's two words in this text right here that the church sometimes gets fixated on. Do you know what they are? I heard one of them. Chose, and predestined. I fear that we miss the bigger picture of every spiritual blessing in Christ when we get fixated on those two things, but yet I want to, in some way, try and tear that down today. Verse 4. He, God, chose us in him before the creation of the world to be blameless and holy in his sight, in love. I would suggest to us this morning that before creation, God chose humanity, us, to be his image bearers. We, as men and women, the human race, descendants of Adam and Eve, were chosen by God to represent him in all of creation, blameless and holy, full of and abounding in perfect love. God breathed life into us. God breathed his spirit into humanity. That was his choosing to do that. It was not ours. It was an act of God's glorious grace. God didn't choose the elephant to do that too. He chose us as humans, humanity. We were created from the dust of the earth, and God reached down and he breathed life into our nostrils, into our very being, his spirit. God chose to do that. That is a glorious act of God's grace. Adam and Eve, and now all of their descendants, and that would be us, rejected that glorious grace. We chose to rebel. We chose to embrace unbelief. We chose to reject God's love for us, and we chose to believe that God certainly couldn't be for us, and so we tried to be our own gods and decide what is truth and what is right for me. Karen and I sometimes watch movies on Amazon Prime, and there's this one British show that it comes up as an ad before you get into whatever we're going to watch. And it just grates me. There's this little song at the end of the ad for this show. Basically, it says, we live in a world where we choose what we are. We live in a world where we choose what we are. When living with a slave mentality, a slave to sin mentality, we move from God chose what is good for us out of his glorious grace, and we move to I choose what I think is good for me. And then we miss out on being holy and blameless and reflecting God's image and likeness. Since original sin and the fall of man, every human being has been born out in the wilderness, out in the darkness. Remember, Adam and Eve got removed from Eden, perfection, out into the wilderness and the darkness, separated from the source of life, of love and holiness, separated from God himself. And we've all been born in the wilderness. Yet deep in every person is this longing to experience that intimacy with God that we're designed for back in perfection, back in Eden. We long for light. We long for safety. We long for the significance of being God's children and have an intimate relationship with him. So the first spiritual blessing in this passage is God chose us to be his image bearers, his offspring, his representatives, and breathed his very life into us. What a glorious gift of his grace. You okay with being chosen? You following? Verse 5, the second spiritual blessing. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, again, to the praise of his glorious grace. The second spiritual blessing is that when we rebelled against that glorious grace, he predestined or he predetermined that he was going to save humanity from death and from captivity to sin, from ourselves, from being fatherless, from being in the dark in the wilderness outside of Eden or perfection, so to speak, and adopt us back as his children through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? What a glorious grace. What a glorious grace. He, Jesus, left heaven's perfection, and he came to us in the darkness and the wilderness and took sin and imperfection upon himself. And he is God, and he is sovereign, and he acts according to his pleasure and his will, and he chose to do that for us. He predetermined that he was going to come to us and save us. We better love God's choosing and his predetermining, his predestination to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. You with me? Let's demonstrate this a little bit. Anybody know what that is? It's a hook for a log chain, right? You've heard me say before I do my morning walk back up over the hill, through the woods, back through the field lane. About 2 months ago, I found this laying on the ground. You know what it's been like. Rains, snow up there in the summer, tractors driving over it. Goods were actually doing a bunch of work up there with an excavator this spring. And yet I'm walking along one day a couple months ago, and I find this laying right there in the track. So I found a branch that was hanging out kind of where I thought maybe someday somebody who's not half asleep may see it and stop and get it. 2 months ago. This morning, I'm walking on that lane at some place. I don't know if it was the same place I found this or not, but I found this. Anybody know what that is? It's the pin that goes in there. That was accidental. It was really random. I just want to remind us this morning that God's choosing and his predetermining, his predestination, is not this random accidental thing. He planned it all out. I got one more thing in here. I need Uriah and Timmy to come on up here. Don't look at me like that. You enjoy being in front of everybody yesterday. So, right over here. Your eyes over here, right there, on the front. This is about the 25-yard line, the other end of the stage, Timmy.
I can't throw that part.
You can't? Okay, well, come a little closer then. You had a rough day yesterday. So here's the setting, right? That's good. You can throw it that far. Here's the setting. Canton's behind by 2. Your eyes on about the 20, 25-yard line. Somewhere in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Timmy's at the goal line, waiting to receive the pass. There's like 46 seconds left in the game. What am I missing? Down by 2. It's like third down. It's coming down to crunch time. Uriah is scrambling. There's big dudes chasing him. That's why he's sore today. And he throws the ball to Timmy. And imagine, stop, freeze right there. There's a guy hanging all over Timmy. In fact, the flag was thrown, but he was in the end zone. Touchdown. Canton wins. All right, those of you who were there, what happened right when Timmy caught that ball? What did you all do? I know what I did. I jumped out of my seat with an arm in the air, and I yelled. I don't want to downplay these guys' talents, but this was not planned. It was not predetermined. I don't care what they say. I don't care how much credit Tyler takes. This was kind of an accident, right? You admit it? Okay. They won right at the end, but it was not predetermined. It was not how you planned it. You can give me the ball back and sit down. Thanks, guys. So God chose and God predetermined. It's a spiritual blessing. Yesterday, by accident, everybody jumped up and cheered. And you guys are just sitting here this morning like, ah, this is cool. And yet God, in his glorious grace, predetermined every bit of life you're experiencing. I'm like, oh, that's great. Let's sit here. I'm just saying. God chose God predetermined, and just maybe we should celebrate that as a spiritual blessing. And then just let the rest of the discussion set for a while. Let's embrace these glorious gifts of grace from the Lord that he has freely given us and give him praise. All right, let's keep going. In him, we have special blessings in the Son, spiritual blessings in the Son. I want to talk about four of them. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will. Wow, what a blessing. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. Woo, that's a mouthful. Redemption. Redemption. Redeemed. Freed from the slavery to sin and the resulting curse, which is death. The ransom has been paid. Freedom from the curse is granted. I'd say that's a spiritual blessing we're celebrating. Forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness basically means that there's a giving up of the right to punish someone for a transgression. And because the debt was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, God gave up the right to punish us for our sins. He gave up the right to punish those who believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is his only begotten Son, and he died on the cross and was raised from the grave. And that forgiveness, as it points out, is out of the abundance or riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, that he poured out generously on us with all wisdom and understanding. Think about that. This just wasn't like a haphazard pouring out of grace. It was poured out with all wisdom and understanding of God. What a glorious spiritual blessing. Thirdly, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. You see, as believers, we understand some things that unbelievers don't understand. We understand that when the time is right, all things in heaven and on earth will be brought together under one head with one authority, which is the resurrected Christ. He has made known to us that the circumstances and situations of this world are not the end. We can live above the world with the long view of eternity in mind. What a spiritual blessing to be able to do that. If you couldn't look beyond your current circumstances, life would be pretty desolate. But as believers, we begin to get this understanding that we can take the long view into eternity. It changes how we live and how we think. And finally, the fourth blessing that we have in the Son is we are enriched. We have been chosen and predestined according to his plan that we might be for the praise of his glory. There's a rich inheritance which we will possess in full when we see Jesus face to face in heaven. This, again, is not some random happening that just happens to happen. No, it's according to God's plan. The creator of the universe, the one who breathed life into us at the first time. What a spiritual blessing. And finally, there's some spiritual blessings in the Spirit. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, and it's once again to the praise of his glory. Marked with a seal. A seal indicates authority and authenticity and security. It's a validation of ownership. God seals those who believe in redemption through his Son Jesus with his own Spirit, indicating that we are his and that we are under his protection. What a spiritual blessing. And the Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. We don't need to live as slaves anymore, brothers and sisters. We don't need to be unsure of our future. We are God's possession for the praise of his glory. What a spiritual blessing. Imagine with me for a moment of what life would be like for us as followers of Jesus if we actually lived as if Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, was really the center of life, the light that darkness can't overcome, the center of all that happens in the universe. Jesus said to his followers in Matthew 28, what did he say? All authority in heaven and where? On earth has been given to who? Me, Jesus. Jesus and his church and the truth of God are not somehow out here on the edge of darkness trying to figure out how they're going to impact darkness. That's not truth. That's not biblical. Jesus and his church are actually in the center. That makes sense? Like if we had a picture of the earth up here and the sun's out here, like we often, we live sometimes like somehow we're way out here and the world's just ruling things. It's not the way it is. Jesus is the authority on heaven and earth. Jesus is in charge, not darkness. You see, we can easily fall into thinking and living as if this sin-filled world is the center of the universe. That the world and its foolish broken systems is the moving and shaking force that is shaping history. And then just like those spies back in Canaan, we forget that we're not slaves anymore. And we settle for less than what our Father has for us. And we too easily return to our Egypts. Return to our places of bondage. Doesn't mean that we haven't been freed, that we're not children of God, but we're just living less than. We slide back into our bondages because we forget who we are and all of the spiritual blessings that are ours for the praise of his glory. Church, what if we lived life like God isn't somehow playing catch up? Just like Canton was playing catch up yesterday. What if we live life like God isn't somehow playing catch up? Like the world is winning and maybe, just maybe, Jesus will come through at the end and save the day. Do we forget that Jesus has already won the victory? Let's live like it. Let's live like it. Church in Christ, we are children of God. Our Father. Jamie, your father. Charity, your father. Mark, your father. Gladys, your father. Victoria, your father. Amanda, your father is in charge. He's in charge of the universe. It's not by accident. He had it all planned and predetermined. Amen? C.S. Lewis wrote this in The Weight of Glory. If there lurks in the most modern minds the notion that to desire our own good and earnestly to hope for the enjoyment of it is a bad thing, I submit that this notion has crept in from Kant and the Stoics and is no part of Christian faith. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, if we think about every spiritual blessing we have in Christ, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We have been given every spiritual blessing by God the Father, all redeemed in Jesus Christ the Son and sealed by the deposit of the Holy Spirit till Christ returns. Church, let's proclaim with both word and life that we believe and have received every spiritual blessing that is ours in Jesus Christ. Amen.